Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome back. We're so glad you're here with us tonight. I want to talk about a couple of things really quick before we start. I want to tell you 323-203-0815 is the number to call. But remember, when you call in, our station will be calling you back. So please don't let it go to voicemail. You may not recognize the number, but please answer it because it's probably us getting back to you. Other than that, we have a You Caring campaign going on for the One Institute and Dr. Allen to keep Dr. Allen on the air. And if you haven't seen that, you can find it on Facebook or you can do a Google search for You Caring Dr. Pat Allen. And if you haven't signed up for our newsletter, you wouldn't have had that information. So if you sign up for the newsletter at www.drpatallen.com, you'll be up to date on all the latest goings on. And so do it. Susie, you've got some things to talk about.
Yes. As you know, once a month, Dr. Allen and I, we have a live webinar for a lot of the people that can't call in here. They can register and attend, and I have six ladies in the hot seat, and we take email questions as well. I have registration open until 5:45, 6 p.m. at the very latest if you want to register. It's $10, and it's limited attendees. You can go to www.wantistore.com and register, and then I will send you a link to log in.
Is that tonight?
Tonight at 6:15 Pacific Standard Time.
Okay, great.
Let's see. Our Monday seminars, we still have once a month Monday, the first Monday of the month in Los Angeles at the Courtyard Marriott. However, the first Monday is January 2nd, and that is a holiday. So we will be back on Monday, January 9th, the second Monday in January due to the holiday on the 1st.
Makes sense. So when's your Wednesday show?
The Wednesday show, we're changing locations. We're no longer at the Costa Mesa Community Center. They are finally closing their doors to remodel. So we've moved locations. We're moving to the Newport Beach Community Center. And at the same time, 7 to 8:30. If you want information, go to our website, Dr. Dr. Pat, P-A-T, Allen, A-L-L-E-N, and that has everything updated. And links to go over to her life. She has her life script classes going. Right now we're booked up. Openings February 4th is the next life script class that I have available. Six people in the Newport Beach office. We cannot offer it on the internet. It's too confidential for the people in the attendees that are sitting in the room. If the people that are out of the state or out of the area want a life script, they can call the office, and more than happy, they can have a private life script reading. And that's about it.
Oh, excellent. So what night did you say, which Wednesday was it this time?
It's always the first Wednesday of every month. So Wednesday, January 4th, we will be at our new location at the Newport Beach Community Center. And the address, I can give you the address right now. It is 100 Civic Center Drive, Newport Beach, 92660. It's kind of over by Fashion Island. There's plenty of free parking. It's $5 admission to the seminars. You can have your questions answered, or you can just sit and listen and gather some information.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we've got some great stuff going on for December, and it looks like Susie's got some really terrific stuff planned for the first quarter of 2017. 2017. Wow, 19. Where was I going with that? Dr. Allen.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Good. I want to be of service.
Well, you always are. How's your week?
It's just fine. I'm having a good time.
Okay. Well, let's see here. My boyfriend and I met on a major dating site, and we've started an exclusive relationship. He updated his profile that says he's in a serious relationship, but he keeps his profile on the site. He says it's for professional contacts, but I don't understand since he's on LinkedIn and Facebook. What should I say to him? Should I tell him that it turns me off that he has his profile on a dating site still?
Well, it depends on how much you're willing to pay emotionally for your masculine power play.
Ooh. Do tell, Dr. Allen. Can you?
Well, you see, if this darling lady wants to be respected, that's one thing, but she has to be with the man that respects her as a way to get cherished by her. So if he's obedient and she can control him, she's a better man than he is. And therefore, what I say is, if you want to be cherished, ladies, don't want better, different love, affection, time, or sex. Because if you get them, you're with a wuss. And if that's okay with you, it's okay with me.
Gotcha. Here's the next question. Dr. Allen always says the only way you know you love yourself or anyone else is by the commitments you keep. Does she mean that the person who doesn't keep commitments does not love themselves, or does she mean that they're not capable of loving?
No, not capable of loving is autism, Asperger's. That is a genetic or disabling situation that is generally left to psychiatrists to handle. Mm-hmm. But if a person cannot keep an agreement, they have been raised and scripted. That's why we do script reading. They have been scripted by somebody who didn't keep their agreements, and they thought that's what normal was. So not keeping your agreements is a sign of you're not being in love with yourself. And I mean in love, which is physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. Those are all the components.
Got it. Very interesting. Here we have another one. Would you please talk about what vulnerability is, Dr. Allen?
Go ahead. You're not done.
Yeah, she says, when I present myself as vulnerable, I feel anxious. Maybe I don't actually know what vulnerability is.
Vulnerability is another word for vulnerability is acquiescence. Mm-hmm. It's when you're willing to do something that's not comfortable, but moral and ethical and legal for the sake of the team. So vulnerability is, do you want to be respected in the head of the team, or do you want to be cherished for being on the team with a person who wants to be respected? In a relationship that we call intimate, which is physical, mental, and emotional, that relationship relies on the fact that somebody is the pilot to this plane and somebody's willing to be the co-pilot. Two pilots on a plane, what do we do? What do we do? No, not good. Two co-pilots, what are we going to do? I don't know. What are we going to do? So whenever you've got equality, which is respect, or cherishing, you've got either two business partners or two friends. Those are the two relationships that can be equal. But in a loving, sensual, sexual relationship, equity is exchanged. I want to be respected. And if you respect me, I'll cherish you.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So equity and equality are two ways of loving, but you've got to know which you are.
Yes. Okay. Here is another question. She says, I think my husband is being passive aggressive. Here's an example. He would mention about us going on a trip, and I would block the days off at work because I'm a hygienist and I need to do that schedule that way months ahead. Then we would get into a small disagreement and he would pull the rug out from under me and say he's not going. This has even happened on family trips. So is this passive aggressive?
That's pretty actively passive aggressive.
Yeah, it's kind of aggressive aggressive.
Passive aggressive is usually not based on behavior. Passive aggressive is based on, yes, I will do that. And the day that you're supposed to do that, he or she has booked an appointment with a surgeon or is taking a massive test in something. Mm-hmm. And they say, gosh, I didn't know it and I didn't let you know about it. So passive aggressive is more passive than aggressive. When a person is aggressive, punishing you, that's really simply punishing you.
Right. It's not really passive aggressive. It's just aggressive.
No, it's just plain aggressive.
Plain old ordinary aggressive. Okay. Let me see what else we have here.
And there's a wonderful book about passive aggressiveness, Living with the Passive Aggressive Man by Scott Wetzler. Now, a man has a man's body, but a woman has a woman as a man's soul, the animus, which is the soul of a woman. A man has a feminine soul and a woman has a masculine soul.
Yes. Ooh, this one's really interesting. Okay. My boyfriend of 11 months proposed and asked me to marry him. The very next night, we were out with a few of his friends, and he made a joke about it. He said, I asked her to marry me, but now I'm not so sure. And then he laughed, and all of his friends laughed. It made me feel very uncomfortable. When I asked him, why did you say that? I didn't feel very comfortable with that. He said, oh, you always take things so seriously.
Well, that's a person. There's a wonderful book called Women Who Love Psychopaths.
Oh.
And in that book by Sandra Brown, in that book, it talks about people, men, and there are more psychopaths that are men than women. And the truth is, what they're doing is they're making you believe that you're wacko when you're self-loving. You're oversensitive. You're this, you're that. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
So I would love this person to read the book. Not that he's a flaming psychopath ready to, you know, burn down the building, but even the subtlest levels of you're crazy because you blank, blank, blank is basically a psychopath. There are sociopaths. Sociopaths have a tendency to get into your bank account. They want the power you've got.
Mm-hmm.
They'll rob you, use you. But a psychopath, a great movie with Ingrid Bergman and Charles Boyer called Gaslight.
Oh, yeah.
And that movie is a classic movie about you're crazy.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. There was another movie much like that called The Fifth Floor.
The who?
The Fifth Floor.
Wow.
Yeah, about a husband who was trying to make his wife think that she was crazy so he could have her committed, that kind of a thing.
That's exactly right. That one sounds like a psychopath, sociopath. Mm-hmm. Drive her crazy to get her money.
Exactly. Exactly.
So he was doing both. Anyway, those are some of the samples of people out here.
Well, here's another interesting one. And okay, this one's a little risque. She says, I've been in a relationship with my current mate for 3 years and 3 months. And he's starting to exhibit a strange behavior during sex. He starts to say things to me and call me names that are derogatory. For example, oh my goodness. Okay, I'll say it anyway. He says, "You're my dirty little whore, my sweet little whore." She said, "I'm not sure I feel comfortable with that, Dr. Allen, and this is something new. Why would he just spring this like this?"
Well, what he's saying to you comes under the category of negative passion.
Mm-hmm.
It comes in the same category as she likes to be spanked.
Mm-hmm.
Or the S&M sexual stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there are people who really like to associate pain. Oftentimes, they were raised in painful homes.
Mm-hmm.
And they have connected pain with sex, you see?
Mm,
and so this person sounds like he is passionately turned on by negativity.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, she's sitting just now sent us another message. She said, "I don't want to seem like I'm a prude. And after 3 years and 3 months for him to come up with these kind of statements while we're having sex makes me feel uncomfortable." She says, "It's like, boom, somebody turned a switch." What would make that switch?
He felt so secure that you could handle it that he's using it for self-stimulation.
Wow, I see that. I see what you're saying. Very interesting. So, a painful situation or a situation like that you're talking about, would that be like the adrenalized female type of thing that you've been talking about before, where they have had a painful experience? My professor was talking about that today in abnormal psych class.
Oh, what was it?
He was talking about the concept of abnormal sexual behavior, or what society views as abnormal sexual behavior. But when two people are agree to it, that
right,
it's not abnormal in their group, although it may be abnormal in the grand society's view.
There's a good movie, Secretary, about a sadomasochistic relationship, and they liked it.
I love that movie. James Spader and Maggie Gyllenhaal, excellent film. So my professor was talking about what you talk about a lot is the the sex addict, the girl who's been, and it was so interesting because he said exactly what you said, a girl that's been abused or sexualized early in her childhood often becomes a sex addict.
And that's adrenaline addict. Remember this, if you molest a girl before her first period, it's like more imprintable. And
wow.
It's so that her nervous system produces more dopamine receptors, which crave more higher levels of dopamine. And then when they do get it, it's based on the passion. And the passion is always more painful, you know, when it's negative.
Wow. Hey, we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen.
Hello.
Caller. Hello. Caller from the 818. You. Oh, we lost her. Okay. So it's very interesting, Dr. Allen, because he said the same thing you did. And he was saying that it can actually cause physical damage to the brain from the constant release of the stress hormones from the organs
right.
of the body.
That's exactly right.
Now, do you agree with him that it damages the amygdala?
Yes, because the amygdala is very sensitive to passionate negative stimulation. It's a hot button.
Now, he cited another example, and I wondered if you agree with it. It was driving me crazy today. I couldn't wait to talk to you, because he said that girls whose fathers leave before they hit puberty, girls who...
Yes, before they had their first period.
Yeah, when those fathers leave, divorce, leave the family or what have you, that it can have almost the same kind of effect where the child, the woman, child, teen, whatever, grows into constantly seeking approval. And
right, and often uses sexuality as a way to do it. These girls that have been seduced or molested before their period are the best sex workers on the planet. They make their living having casual sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sex, what are those, dancers, sex, all the different varieties of sexual behavior that good girls don't practice, but bad girls do, because their brains, the dopamine receptors, crave the stimulation.
Incredibly interesting.
And that's a book, The Craving Brain, by Dr. Rudin.
Okay. Yeah. Hi, caller. You've got, you're on the air with Dr. Allen.
Oh, great. Hi. I was calling. Hi, how are you? I'm a woman who doesn't want to have children, and it's been very difficult finding men who don't want to have a child. And I was recently in a relationship with someone. We were going to end it right away, but we decided, you know what, let's just go with the flow and, you know, see what happens. And I know that was my fault to continue. And we, you know, ended up falling in love. But in the end, he wants to have children. So I ended it. But I've been very sad, and he was kind of, I guess, taken aback by it. And I don't know. Do you have any advice?
Well, first of all, I want to find out what the reason is you don't want children. If it's not a choice situation, some people can't have children. Are you a can't or don't want?
I've never wanted children.
I appreciate that.
What's
your major reason for that?
You know, I've been in therapy on and off, like here and there, not for long term, but one of the therapists said once that I took care of my parents in certain ways when I was growing up.
So you're burnt out as a mother.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, you know what?
Oh, that's interesting.
Then that's what it is. You have, oh God, so many kids end up raising their brothers and sisters, and they burn out as future parents. So I'm wanting you to know, I understand that you're burnt out, and that's the reason you don't want children. But that man that you were sexually attracted to, you were willing to compromise your phobia, your pain, and then you paid a higher price because you both started to fall in love with each other. So don't do that.
I know. But for some reason, I seem to attract guys that want children. And then I have other friends that, you know, they want to have children. And then they're with guys that don't want children. And I'm like, what in the world is going on?
somebody, all it takes is, okay, the feminine energy in whoever, him or her, does not want children, that controls the situation.
Right.
So you can't get past a no, I don't want, but you converted. You switched from no, I don't want, I'm burnt out, I took care of my parents, and I've got caregiver's disease, which means I used up all my coupons on my parents. And a lot of kids, firstborn kids especially, get used up and burnt out and don't want children.
Right.
So your mistake was pretending that you weren't burnt out.
Well, he always knew from the beginning I didn't want children. I just thought maybe
fell in love with him and you either you're going to have to work on your phobia. You know, have you done EMDR?
No, I have not. And I don't honestly,
why not?
I mean, I'm 44 right now and
it's not worth your time. You're not 30 years old.
Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
I got that.
Yeah.
But for those that are listening, what she's experiencing is the result of a traumatic long-term stress situation, and her thinking and her feelings, especially about caregiving, are differentiated. They're separated. And in EMDR, created by Francine Shapiro, who wrote the book Getting Past Your Past, which is a way to think about getting past your wound, and she created the techniques for EMDR to integrate your thoughts and feelings. In this situation, it's like uselessly too late, because 44 years old, you know, is not the time to have kids necessarily. But if you were to fall in love with the man with a child that you could help raise, would you be willing to do that?
Then I would maybe get some EMDR.
Okay.
I'm not 100%. Yeah. I would be somewhat open to it.
All right. Then that's your new story. I don't want to physically bear children. I'm too old. But you have a 5-year-old child, and I love you enough. I will co-parent with you.
Right.
So look into the situation with the men you're attracted to, and instead of saying, I will consider having a child, which you don't want, say the other. I'm willing to co-parent a child that you want or have already.
And can I ask you a question? On his side, he kept asking me, like, so what do you want to do? How do you want to handle this? When really the ball was in his court, in the sense of, well, I don't want kids. You want kids, so you're the one who should sort of make the move to end it. But he would always keep asking me what I wanted
to
do.
Well, you were in charge of the veto right. Did you not offer to maybe adopt a child for him?
No, I didn't.
Because?
I had thought about it, but I never, he wants to have his own child.
What you do is you'll say, I will help you co-parent. I will help co-parent a child with you that you get a, there are women who work for surrogate systems in which you get their egg,
right,
and they get pregnant with his sperm, and she gives you the resulting baby.
Right.
Do you see?
Right, and I've thought of that, and that just didn't seem very appealing. I just don't want to raise a child.
Got it.
It's the caregiving thing that has you stuck.
Yeah.
Yes. But what we're doing here is getting to the point where she says, I don't want to raise a child. Everything before this was, I might consider this and I might consider that. And so this man picked up on her willingness and tried to get her to negotiate the deal. But as far as I'm concerned, tonight she made the true statement. I don't want to raise another child.
Yeah.
My mother and father were children. I don't want to do that again. Did you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes. And I have an older brother.
How many?
Just one.
Okay.
And he was the same way. He was helping, you know, my parents as well. So.
Okay, so you and he were both caregivers.
Right. He had
so you guys were co-parenting your parents.
Yes. And he was older than me, so he was probably, you know, bearing more of it than I was.
But you had too much.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I fully understand that. My recommendation to you is never pretend that you want to caregive anybody, whatever age.
Oh, I see. Right. Even like a parent, you're saying.
Anybody. You're burnt out.
Right.
Now, not only is she burnt out, she was in love with him, so she is. What she's going through now, Dr. Ellen, is this oxytocin withdrawal?
Yes. Absolutely.
Right. It's that damn oxytocin.
It is.
Yes. I know it's not the oxytocin. They are giving oxytocin sprays to autistic kids to help them be more socially intimate.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
There's a good side to everything, and there's a bad side to everything. So you got to make your picking and choosing.
Right.
Okay. Did you get your answer?
Yes, I did.
What was it? What was it?
Well, I can do EMDR to kind of even just heal the situation from my past.
Yes.
And see where that leads. And then just don't get into a relationship with a man that wants a kid, no matter how wonderful it is.
You know what? You got the point.
Yes.
All right.
Good luck, caller.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Dr. Ann, that's an interesting one.
Yes, it is.
And it was interesting that she said the gentleman she was with that wanted a child and all her friends who want children, they're finding men who don't want children.
Yes. You always fall in love with the person that brings you the lesson you need to learn. Have you ever noticed how you don't fall in love with the perfect people? Right education, right family, right religion, right politics.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't have chemistry.
That's
chemistry.
Right.
And I totally recommend The Invisible Partners by John Sanford.
Okay.
Chemistry is the super glue of relationships, and it's called oxytocin.
Yeah. We have a caller on. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi there. Yes. Good evening. Hi, Dr.
Allen.
Hello.
Hi. I called in last week with the question about how to phrase it when I'm asking for the commitment before intercourse.
Yes, that's when he's asked for the intercourse.
Wait, this was at the moment of passion, right?
Yes, we were there.
Okay. Just want to make sure we knew which one you were.
Yes, that was me. So so we had another conversation that was also, we were making out, but it wasn't like time to do anything yet. But I just kind of brought up that I did want to clarify that if he wants to have intercourse with me, that I wanted to, I said, I do want to make love with you, you know, and I phrased it the way you said, I do want to make love with you. And it's really important to me to know that we have a committed relationship. And he understood that. And then he started talking about these other women that he's dating, and I was like, wow, this is a moment for that. And he also started talking about women that he's best friends with, one of which is his ex-wife, another of which is an ex-girlfriend. And that's a point of discomfort for me. And so regardless of, we haven't made it to the commitment and intercourse yet, but I'm thinking, I'm wondering what your input is, Dr. Allen, on a man who has a lot of women friends in his life, if that's a source of discomfort for me. What do you do with that?
Is what he's doing with them interfering with your relationship?
Not that I know of.
So it's on his iTime? We all have iTime. We hopefully have we time with the people we love. And we have us time with the group of people we love. So if his friendship with other females is not interfering with your relationship, then it is your feelings that you want to protect by isolating him from those women, right?
Yes, I've had bad experiences with it in the past with a boyfriend telling me that he didn't have feelings for this particular friend. And then I discovered that they both did have feelings for each other and were basically having an emotional affair.
So, and so what you're saying is you've been traumatized by the betrayal. Emotional affairs are the newest addiction.
Yeah.
We're not having sex. No, they're having worse. They're having intimacy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Keller, I have a question. Earlier, you made a statement that he was talking about other women he's dating actively or dated. Are you guys in an exclusive?
No, we haven't gotten there yet. We did have the conversation about what that looks like, and this topic actually brought up me saying, you know, to me, monogamy is social and sexual. Mm-hmm. And that when he disclosed to me, oh, well, I'm best friends with my ex-wife and I'm best friends with my ex-girlfriend and I'm best friends with this other backup singer from my brother's band. And, oh, and I, you know, took a walk with this woman from the dating.
So what he's saying is he is socially polyamorous.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. That's a deal breaker for you, I hear.
Well, he did say there will be, you know, disclosure, you'll meet them. There's always, you know, there'll be like transparency in those relationships. But yeah, it has been one of my deal breakers. And I just don't know if I feel like he's more than 51% valuable enough for me to maybe try on a different.
Does your gut tell you he's having intercourse?
No.
Okay. He's not having intercourse, or your gut doesn't tell you?
My gut doesn't tell me that he's having intercourse with any of those women.
Is he a temperamental extrovert?
No.
Is he an introvert? He sounds like he needs a lot of strokes from a lot of folks. Is that correct?
Maybe so. I'm still figuring him out. He's you know, very quiet and well spoken and subdued with me, but he is in the entertainment industry, so he probably has a side I haven't seen. He's a music producer.
Well, if he's not immoral, unethical, or illegal, and his socializing does not interfere with your relationship, and he's on iTime, which means he's getting his stroke needs met, then if you require him not to do that, you will be misusing who he is. And eventually, that will corrupt the relationship. So are you willing to share him on a long leash, or are you willing to cut the leash and let him go?
Well, I'm willing to share as long as I keep seeing that there's transparency and disclosure and, you know, inclusion. He also talked about including me with, you know, his relationships with these women as far as, like, socially, if we do things together.
May he ever have coffee with someone?
Yeah, I mean, he's not my ex-boyfriend. He's a totally different person, so I feel like I have to extend to him.
But you're traumatized. One more time. Yeah. Have you done EMR, EMDR, based on the trauma of being betrayed?
Not from that trauma. I have done it based on your suggestion for other traumas.
And did you get any benefit?
Yes, yes. I feel like leaps and bounds of maturity occurred for me.
Okay. Then my suggestion is, yes, you're thin-skinned, you know, and sensitive, and rightly so. But I am prone to ask you to accept him with his transparency. See, the other guy wasn't transparent. He lied to you.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you can get transparency and your gut tells you he's not breaking the law morally, ethically, and legally, you would do well to have your time with him and to let him spend his eye time wherever he wants as long as you have yours.
Mm-hmm. And just a side note that might make you feel a little bit better. I was with a man for 13 years and we parted ways as a couple. He called me 2 days ago. He typically calls me every day. Today it was a text message. And if somebody asks him who his best friend is, his response is me. And I've got news for you. We're done with our relationship as lovers. We're really only friends. But after 13 years, you just don't turn a switch off and go, I don't like this person or care for this person anymore. So, you know, I think part of another thing that you may like about this man is the way he handles the end of relationships. And it sounds like he's incredibly mature.
Mm-hmm. He sounds like a negotiator as well. And you say he's 51% valuable. Those are awfully valuable. And I would think restricting him from being who he is far more negative than really...
Yeah, Dr. Ellen, you and I have talked about that. A person who wants somebody that they've chosen to change, and it's like, well, why'd you choose them? That's sort of his personality, and especially the fact that he is a music producer means he is a negotiator. He would have to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's where we left it, is, you know, he just kind of disclosed these relationships to me, and I disclosed to him my feelings about that, as well as my past history and the difficulty that I have with that. But, you know, we came to the conclusion that, you know, let's move forward and I get to meet these people and we get to kind of integrate.
Sounds wonderful.
Okay. All right.
Well, keep us updated.
Remember,
we
always fall in love with the person that brings us the problem and the situation we need to learn.
Yeah, that's true. I've done that very much in the past, and this is a more superficial type of scenario that I'm learning. So I feel like I'm making progress.
Good girl. Good girl.
You never know. You may gain a man and you may gain several female friends in the bargain.
That's true. That's true. I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's He's good, and he's taken me out on Friday and Saturday this week, and I already met his mom and all this stuff. So
sounds good to me.
Ooh, met the mom.
I know.
Remember, we have to be an I alone. We have to be in a couple relationship if we want one. And we have to be able to form a group with people. So, So good luck.
Thank you.
Let us know.
Okay. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
You too.
Very neat. I hope it works out for
her. Right.
Sounds very interesting.
We need someone to love, something to do, and something to look forward to be really well-rounded.
Now, I want to just take a second here to remind everybody that the registration for the webinar tonight that follows the radio show is closing in about 15 minutes. So if you want to get into that webinar, and I highly recommend it, you should go to wantistore.com and get registered for that right away so you'll be able to join. Otherwise, when it closes, it's closed, and there's no, there won't be another one for a while, and I'm not sure exactly. Let me check here. Hey, Sue, are you on the line?
Yeah, I don't have a January date yet, set yet, so I'm still working on the next webinar, so...
So this is it.
It's usually once a month, so it's going to be another 4 weeks no matter what, whether it's the first of the year.
All right. So we have we're a month away at least from another webinar. So if you want to do that again, I encourage you to do that, www.wantistore.com, and you'll get registered if you get in before 6 o'clock because it's really difficult to get anybody, for Sue to get everybody fixed and on the road to getting into the webinar otherwise. So let's see. We have another message here. Okay. I have cats. He hates cats. He wants me to move in. I've had my cat for 6 years. I have another cat I've had for 4 years. They feel like my family. What do you think, Dr. Allen?
Say goodbye to your man.
That's right.
Remember, someone to love can be an animal.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, perhaps she should go to, one of those sites that has people that are more prone to being animal lovers. I think one of the things that we were talking about with the last caller was, compatibility. He has a lot of outside friends, but he's willing to bring her into the fold. But with a situation like a cat or a dog even, you should be looking for somebody like-minded.
That's so, exactly right.
That
chemistry is God-given, nature-given. Can't do anything about that in therapy. Either got it or you don't.
Right.
Compatibility are all the nuances of how you live. And communication, you have three choices. Intimidate them with fear, seduce them with guilt and shame, or negotiate with love. I like to teach negotiation.
Yes. Yes. It's awesome.
That's win-win.
Win-win. So we have another quick question here, and she says, I'm duty dating.
Good. That's practice dating with somebody you have no chemistry for today.
Yes. She says, I have rotated through 32 men. Wow. And
dated them 3 times, I hope.
Yeah, that's what she's saying. I'm following the program exactly. She says, here's the problem.
What?
The 3 men I'm currently dating, I feel intense chemistry for all 3 of them. Wow.
Of
Lucky
course.
Girl.
Nothing wrong with that.
She says, what do
I... Therefore, compatibility and communication must be used.
So, Dr. Allen, what would you suggest for her to do? Make a list of pros and cons, or...
The compatibility factors. Does she want to live in the country? Does she want to live in the city? What does she want that, you know, this one has and that one? You have to know what your priorities are and then evaluate the compatibility factor. If you've got chemistry for more than one person, check out the compatibility and then communicate and negotiate the deal.
Sounds good. We're out of time, Dr. Allen. What have you got to say tonight?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Awesome. Hey, everybody, don't forget about that webinar. If you want to register, wantistore.com. Visit us at www.drpatallen.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Follow us on Facebook. Don't forget about You Caring. It's totally tax deductible. The One Institute is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Get those donations in before the end of the year so you can write it off your taxes. We love you, and we'll be back next week.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.